Peter. We'll be looking at verses toward the end of the last chapter of 1 Peter, and we've been studying this together in Sunday school as well, so I'm going to make a key invitation to you to be joining us as we've been studying through. This verse will cue us into where the Apostle Peter brings us through throughout his epistle, and they'll look at suffering and some of the struggles we encounter. So we're taking a break from our normal study in the Gospel of John to look at this before we continue in the Gospel of John next week. 1 Peter chapter 5. Appreciate that study we've been going through with Alan Lee leading us in our Sunday school study of 1 Peter. So this will give us a glimpse, and we hope you'll come and join us to study what's moving us in this direction. We're going to be focused particularly on verse 10 this morning, but I am going to read from verses 6 through 11 before we get started. Please follow along as I read. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pause in a moment of prayer. Father, we ask you to bless our study of the word now. Lord, we ask that your truth would speak comfort and joy, as well as challenge and conviction to us as we examine ourselves in the midst of our current lot in life, the circumstances we face, that you would help us to examine ourselves. Are we being faithful? Are we trusting you? Where is our hope? And Lord, that we would, in the midst of these, turn and take refuge in you. You are the God of all grace. You are the one who is in control of all. You are the sovereign Lord, and we trust that you are working your plan. And Lord, it's not easy enduring some of the facets of that plan sometimes, because it happens in the midst of real life and painful situations. And yet, Lord, we want to turn to you and say, okay, we trust you. We don't know all that you're doing, why exactly you're doing it, but we know who you are. And we want to continue to cling to you, awaiting the eternal glory that you've called us to. So, Father, help us now as we look together and trust in your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Why did the chicken cross the road? I don't have to tell you the answer, I guess, to get to the other side. And while that's a familiar joke, if you want to call it that, the question itself prepares you for a silly answer and then comes with a logical conclusion. Well, naturally, that must have been his motivation. But we could ponder beyond that. Well, what made the chicken want to get to the other side? And we could ponder that chicken's endeavor, the journey itself. Was that perhaps, I mean, imagine yourself a little chicken strutting across the road, and the danger of the cars passing by, whatever other predator animals might take interest in it. And in the midst of that, perhaps that was the toughest season of that chicken's life in particular, to try to make it from point A to point B on that opposite side of the road. The hope is to cross without risk or without encounter, but how did it end? Perhaps that chicken's endeavor is one filled with danger, uncertainty, helplessness. Perhaps it ended in tragedy. We could only ponder this story of the chicken who sought to cross the road. But I can put the ball in your court as you look at the context of your life, the circumstances you're facing. What road are you crossing? What other side are you seeking? You might feel like perhaps you're a deer staring into the headlights right now, about to get completely pulverized by the circumstances in life coming at you. For many of us, that other side might be, man, I cannot wait for January 1st, 2021, when 2020 is over and gone. For many of us, I imagine that we're anticipating the end of COVID-19, that we know perhaps this will never go away, but at least some sort of return to normal. When can our kids go to school again? When can we have all the ministries of the church again? When do we get to stop wearing our masks and quit social distancing and not have to have meetings through a video call and be able to fellowship personally and intimately in the way that God's designed us as humans to interact? That other side, the end of COVID, the return to normal. For many of us, it might be health difficulties that we wish we could put behind us. Financial difficulties when we finally make the big break and we can rest secure in a full provision without concern about bills ever again. I assume many of us are anticipating the other side of Tuesday, when this election season has been put past us, or perhaps we're anticipating 2025 when we can put this whole next candidate season behind us. Whatever it might be, presidential election, COVID, struggles in life, the circumstances we're facing individually and collectively. As you consider what road you're crossing and you're waiting for a certain deliverance, the certain breakthrough, the certain arrival at that other side, I want to ask then, what will that other side be like? Will we make it? Will it bring the relief that we've consoled ourselves that this certainly must bring with it, that we've almost promised to ourselves? We'll all be better there. Well, again, the title of the message today is The Other Side. We're looking for a certain arrival, but in the midst of it, too, I want to be challenged. That 1 Peter, this epistle here, brings us face-to-face with the reality of suffering in our lives. We can't avoid it. It's going to come. It's going to be painful. And yet, in the midst of it, we have a present hope in Jesus. And so, though we might feel like the deer in the headlights, that we ought not focus on those shining lights as though we're doomed, we ought to focus on God Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the hope we have in Him. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 brings us to the conclusion then, again, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Comforting words. And I love when we get to read through Scripture and learn some of the attributes of God and some of the names of God that have a very close importance to us, that He is the God of all grace. And that's what we'll see this morning as we look into this passage, as we look into this verse, and let it resonate the words of Peter through this epistle that he's challenging us now with, as the Holy Spirit's made this for us today as well, that we would hope in these words, that we would trust the God of all grace in the midst of our problems. You and I, we can trust Him. We can trust the God of all grace. Not when we get to the other side. He's not beyond waiting for us. And that's where the hope is. what I want to assure us today is that there's hope in its midst, that in the midst of all the misery of the struggles of life, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of whatever presidential candidate God gives the victory and God sovereignly provides for to lead us for the next 4 or more years, that God is sovereign in its midst, there's a hope in its midst, and we can trust Him in the midst of these. However long this coronavirus lasts, even if even if we're social distancing and wearing masks into 2022 or 2023 and life still hasn't returned to normal as we once defined it, that God is sovereign in its midst and we can trust Him in the midst of these problems because He is the God of all grace. Let us see that we can trust in this God of all grace in the midst of our problems. And we'll see three truths about problems as we dive into this verse. Three truths about problems that drive us to the God of all grace. And the first is this: problems are inevitable. Problems are inevitable. I'd like to avoid problems as much as you would, perhaps more. I don't like conflicts. I don't like surprises. I don't like things going wrong with technology, with family, with friends. I don't like when problems occur. And if there was some way to fulfill, if you just do this and this problem will never happen, man, just let me know the way to do it and I will try to abide perfectly. God knows I'll fall far short, but if there was some sort of formula, I would be all over that. And yet, problems are not avoidable. In fact, Peter tells us in his, if we back up to chapter, oh, I guess we'll get it all at once. If we back up to chapter 4, verse 12, Peter tells us, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." It easily knocks us off our course because I didn't expect that. And yes, we cannot even possibly anticipate all that could go wrong at any point that could go wrong. And yet, when we're trusting in God, we ought to come to expect it. Don't be surprised by problems. God's got purpose. God will use them. We live in a fallen world, and we live among sinful people, and things go wrong. Jesus told us that in John 16:33. We saw this in our study last year, that He says, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That we can expect that in this world, we're not going to find the answers. We're not going to arrive. This life is not the answer. And if I'm looking for answers around every corner, if I can just find the solution by getting to the other side, if we can get past this season, get past these problems, then it'll be great. Well, we're misunderstanding, because life is not the answer. There's not answers for us to solve these problems in full in this life. Certainly, some things will bring relief. Some things, because God provides it, some things have the appearance of relief, and we're deceiving ourselves and chasing down further problems. But in the midst of this life, we can cling to the answer. We can cling to God Himself, the God of all grace, the hope He brings. In fact, when looking to get to the other side, get past this, the truth is we move from problem to problem. We could have all these car problems and resolve to spend all kinds of money on a brand new car, and someone could crash into us the next day. We could get to the chicken. Let's depersonalize this for a moment. That chicken can dart across that road and arrive safely on the other side, only to be gobbled by a wolf or have a car veer off the road. I'm not trying to be pessimistic or say, well, everything that goes wrong can go wrong, but we cannot look for refuge in the things of this world. We cannot look for just the right circumstances that will provide us what we need. And I'm convinced that some of us may be struggling in the, well, if my presidential candidate is elected, then at least the next 4 years I've got a certainty. Or once coronavirus is gone, then life will be good again. And yet, even if those things happen, we know we move from problem to problem. We're not safe on the other side of anything in this life alone. Certainly, we take refuge in the God of all grace who preserves us in the midst of this life. So let me ask then, will we trust in circumstances? Will we trust in circumstances? On at face value, it's easy to say, no, we can't trust in circumstances. We don't know what'll go wrong. Of course, we know in concept that we can't trust in the things of this life. But I can't tell you how often I've thought, man, once coronavirus is over, I can't wait till we can, that things can start to go well again. And certainly there's good things to anticipate. The return of many ministries of the church and a more intimate fellowship together. The children to be able to go to school and learn in a better manner and to have a more focused time for things we need to do. There's a certain balance to what we're used to in that, and yet that won't solve all the problems either. And so we can look forward to some things, but we cannot trust in our circumstances. And I've blinded myself all too often to how much better everything will be on the other side. With the upcoming election just a couple of days away and the results awaiting us for what the next 4 years hold, will we trust in our rulers? Will we trust in who leads our country? And the answer ought to be no. The answer ought to be, it doesn't matter if Donald Trump leads our country for 4 years. It doesn't matter if Joe Biden leads our country for 4 years. Not because there's no significance, not because we're careless. There is a weight to these matters, and we want to be faithful to vote accordingly and decide accordingly and do our part in life, that there are responsibilities, and yet we entrust the results to God because we're not trusting in those rulers. The Bible says in Psalm 146, verse 3, our scripture reading from earlier, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. Don't trust in the president of the United States of America as the one who will alleviate circumstances and be your refuge. Don't trust in princes. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9 as well. Psalm 118, 8 and 9 say this, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And so we're challenged in whatever viewpoint we might take that is hoping in a presidential election as the basis of how life will be. It will shape our circumstances, certainly, and there are impacts that are important, but we cannot hope in that alone. One pastor says it this way, this next week, on Tuesday, Jesus will be king. Then on Wednesday, Jesus will be king. Even in 2021, Jesus will be king. And so we can trust in him and we can hope in him. Will we trust in our work, the things we do? If I can just get to the other side, if I can press through this and work hard, and we're challenged to still adamantly say no. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We cannot trust in our own work. We ought to work hard, knowing that we depend on the Lord, but not trust in ourselves. Proverbs 21:31 also says it in this way, the horse is made ready for the day of battle. We can do our part, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So don't trust in your own work. Don't put hope in how you do in the midst of this life. Yeah, if I'm in financial struggle, then I need to work hard to save well, to be frugal, to make wise decisions, whatever it might be. If I'm in the midst of health circumstances, I need to do my part to make wise decisions on what I eat, what medicines to take, how I take care of my body and exercise. There are responsibilities, but I don't hope in myself. I do my part, and I entrust it to the Lord who gives the victory. Instead, we can trust in our God. We can trust in our God. 1 Peter 4:19, and again, reiterating the inevitability of suffering and trials, says this: therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will, it's part of His plan, when that happens, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. We can entrust ourselves to Him and do our part. We can entrust ourselves to the faithful Creator and be faithful ourselves, to faithfully do good. Okay? So, problems are inevitable. Second, we can trust the God of all grace in the midst of our problems because problems are difficult. The difficulty of problems ought to, again, drive us to the God of all grace. Now, as we wear down in the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of COVID, which has taken us by taken us out of the norms of life and has changed how we approach things, how we relate to family, how we relate to the church, how we're able to shop for groceries, how we're able to eat at a restaurant or whatever it might be, and we can say, man, this has taken me down, and this is put quite a damper in all the ways that I want to do life, the ways that I want to conduct my life right now. But the truth is that we are weak regardless of circumstances. Circumstances will reveal weakness, just like putting a tea bag into hot water will bring out of what's in the tea bag so that it's not the hot water itself that flavors the tea. It is what's in that tea bag that brings the flavor, but the hot water just draws it out. Our circumstances can draw out the weakness that's in us, but our weakness is regardless of circumstances. Instead, then, we ought to realize that we are weak. We can recognize weakness. We can see our need. See that we can't depend on ourselves, that we can't depend on circumstances, that we can't simply look for the answer by changing circumstances alone, but instead that we can best enjoy God's power when we recognize our weakness. A very familiar and powerful verse in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul cries out to the Lord. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But verse 9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Have you boasted at all this year in the power of Christ in the midst of COVID? I'll confess, I've complained about the coronavirus, about the circumstances. I've been unhappy with the situations. I've struggled. And Paul says, I will boast in my weaknesses. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient for him. God's grace is sufficient for us. His power is made perfect in weakness. Can we say thank you, Lord, for what he's brought to us this year? Thank you for bringing us to a position where we have to turn to you, where we have to depend on you, where we get to see your all-sufficient grace and your perfect power. And Lord, please take from us where we've refused or we've neglected to turn to you, and we've neglected to be able to see what is that sufficient grace and perfect power. You are the God of all grace, and we need to come to you in our difficult problems. So we await God's strengthening power. We look forward to this point that we're told after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That is, this word restore means to put back in order. He's going to build us up again. Confirm is referring to like the infrastructure of a house. So we can see God's building us up with the restoration and this house infrastructure and making us stronger. And that established refers to that house foundation that God's going to put us in a place where he can build into our lives for the work that he wants to do in and through us. And so we have a hope in his power and all that he will accomplish. But I think there's a work that he's doing even in the midst of this. God is working through this time to prepare us, to shape us, to help us to trust in him, that he's laying that foundation even now, that we would know who he is and relate to him as the God of all grace. So what do we do in the meantime? What do we do as we wait? Going back to that verse in 1 Peter 4:19, we entrust ourselves to a faithful Creator while faithfully doing good. We're suffering according to God's will. Let him use it. Give it to him. We can get frustrated. We can say, why, God? And we can blame him, and we can push back, and we can miss. What is God doing? Let us faithfully do good while we entrust ourselves to our faithful God, the God of all grace. Finally, we can trust the God of all grace in the midst of our problems because problems are temporary. That temporary nature of problems ought to drive us back to the eternal God, ought to drive us back to the one who has eternal purpose. Problems are temporary. And we ought to ask ourselves the question, can we fathom how much better it will be? Can we fathom how much better it will be? And perhaps this chicken has spent days alongside this road and glanced to the other side and has conjured up in his mind just what life will be like once he gets to that side. How he'll be able to run freely. How the grass is much greener over there. How he'll be safe once and for all. How there's plenty to eat. How there's friends to run with. Whatever it might be, that is the provision he seeks and the security and the comfort and the hope. But it goes much further. While we look at our life circumstances and we imagine, what if the circumstances changed, and we ponder that goodness, there's a greater goodness to fathom, a greater glory that we look forward to. And so our perspective is challenged. We'll look at a couple verses to see that, how there's a better other side, and it's not in this life. Our perspective is challenged, first of all, to see that our problems are just a short time. I don't know if that stuck out to you. Every time I read this verse, it really hangs there. It says, after you have suffered a little while. Well, we've been facing the effects of coronavirus personally at least since March, when we had to first shut down as a church. It dates back to end of last year in China, so that this is why it's COVID-19. This has been going on for a while, and it took a while to gain momentum to grow into a global problem. And certainly, it does not look like it's beginning to slow up. A little while, and we're around a year of all the results of this virus, and we don't know what kind of end there is. In fact, the one thread we're hanging on is the promise of this vaccine. Well, it will be good if we can come up with a vaccine. It will be good to be able to stop that virus in its tracks and to be able to say, well, I'm immune, and so I don't have to worry. I don't have to have a concern. And we could get to that point and say, I've had the vaccine. I'm on the other side. And miss that, well, there's still plenty of problems in life that it didn't solve for me. There is a good aspect of certain things in the future that our God of all grace gives us common grace for us, as blessings in this life. And yet, there's so much more. And so, but this suffering, he says, is a short time. People who spend their entire lives in wheelchairs or disabled, he says the suffering is a short time. Now, we have the contrast that what is written in the Gospel of John, where Jesus saw the man who had been an invalid for 38 years, and Jesus saw him, and we're told Jesus knew he had been there a long time. So we get some perspective that although God is outside of time, he identifies with us in our suffering, and he knows the struggles, and that it does feel like a long time, that there are long natures of struggle in life. And yet, there's so much more emphasizing to us that the way we ought not to see it is the long nature of it, but to see the short nature of it. And so again, here we're told a little while, if we flip back to the beginning of 1 Peter, because 1 Peter walks us through the struggles, and in verse Peter 1:6, he says, "In this you rejoice," that's looking back to God's power, it's looking back to the living hope that we have, we're looking forward to inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled. In all of this, he says, "In this you rejoice," we're being kept for a salvation ready to be revealed in last time, but he says, "In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials." And so, the epistle of Peter writes is opening and closing with this little while of suffering, but is walking us through how do we understand that? How do we perceive that? How do we respond to it in our lives? And how do we cling to the God of all grace? So we get that perspective from Peter, and we can look as well into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, which says for us this light momentary affliction. Again, you know your circumstances. You know your struggles. You know the weight of hurt and pain in your life. Losses of family and friends that you will never see again in this life. Sicknesses you've endured for a long time. Financial struggles. I mean, it goes beyond simply this year, but relational struggles that you may have walked through for who knows how long. It's a short time, and yet it's put into perspective because the verse goes on to say, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Well, that verse also iterates for us that our problems are a light burden. And again, it's a challenge in perspective because that's not how I would first describe many of my problems that have weighed heavily upon me as a light burden. A challenge of perspective, again, laid out that compared to the eternal weight of glory, there's so much more better. I mean, it's so much easier to imagine how far worse everything can get and then anticipate all the worst circumstances that could be right around the corner and let that keep us awake at night and let us be our fear and to dwell in the midst of that. But why not spend our time meditating on the truth of how much better we'll be on the eternal other side? The eternal other side, when we're with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all eternity in glory. As has been told us in 1 Peter 5:10, he's who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. So he says you've suffered a little while, but he's called you to eternal glory. There's something far better we await. Paul also articulates this contrast in Romans 8:18, the lightness of it. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time aren't even worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And the terms are like that of scales. Like if you were going to put all your trials and burdens and everything that's weighing heavily upon your life right now and put it on one side of the scale, and then on the other side put that glory that's coming, this light affliction won't even begin to tip the scale, because that glory that's coming, that eternal glory, the eternal weight of glory, is so far beyond what we can even begin to comprehend. So I know it's hard for our minds to go there when we're in the midst of terrible circumstances. And even when we can conjure up these verses and call them to mind and then say, well, yeah, I know, but if you only knew what was going on in my life right now, I think of the words of Jesus in our memory verse, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you trust in His Word enough that, yes, we're not asking you to pretend like everything's okay, but do you believe what He says enough to grab hold of the God of all grace and hold on for dear life, because you know that He's got a better outcome, even if there's no relief at all in this life, even if the only other side we experience is when we meet our end and depart from our bodies and are eternally with Him. Our problems are a short time. Our problems are a light burden. But that true other side is eternal glory in Christ with Him. And we have that sure hope. And so I read this verse again. After you have suffered a little while, after that, in its midst even, the God of all grace, He's there through it all, and He's called us to His eternal glory in Christ, so there's a sure hope in the future, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He's working and preparing us for the project He will do to build us up into His beautiful design for our lives, to know Him, to be used by Him. And so we resonate in that hope, in that beautiful trust. Trust the God of all grace in the midst of your problems. Not when we get past certain circumstances. Not when we deal with this area of our life. Not when we resolve this struggle or this relationship or whatever it might be. Right there in its very midst, trust in the God of all grace. As we continue through this season of coronavirus and the unknown ending, trust in the God of all grace. Not in the vaccine that's coming. Not in 2 years later when hopefully things will be behind. Trust in the God of all grace. As we go into the presidential election this week and find the results of who God has to lead our country for the next 4 years, trust in the God of all grace. Not in the victory of your candidate. In the God of all grace, who is working His plan in the midst of whatever circumstances He brings our way. In whatever road you're crossing, whatever headlights you feel you're looking into, cling to that God of all grace. Trust Him and hope in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this truth. We thank You for Your character, that You are a God of all grace. It's not limited. We can't run out of it. We can't use it up. Lord, we can keep coming to You and keep hoping in You and keep trusting in You. And that's not going to eliminate our pain. But as we endure the pain, we have comfort. We have hope. We have care. We have Your love. We have purpose and meaning. We have a good God, a faithful God. And we want to entrust ourselves to You. And we want to be faithful to respond well and do good. Lord, teach us what it is to press through the difficulties of life and to not be weighed down by problems, but to be weighed with Your eternal weight of glory. That in mind, that in perspective, that we pursue. Lord, we thank You for this hope and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.